I was able to get my wife exactly what she wanted for Mother's Day this year. I said, honey, what do you want for Mother's Day? She told me and told me where to get it, so I got her exactly what she wanted.
She hasn't changed her mind yet?
No. So, I want to, you know it's spring around here because the people who go south to Florida are back. Welcome back, Bill Melchior. And welcome to Harvey and Mary Lynn Smith. Some of you may not know Harvey and Mary, but Harvey is the man who is responsible for starting this church. As a professor at Potsdam, he had a passion and a burden for reaching the college students and a special anointing. He developed a Bible study here in the community with some other Christians, and they started this church way back 49 years ago, 49 and a half years ago. It was a hippie church called Koinonia, which means fellowship. But God has used this man in a very powerful way. I know nobody on the campuses has been used as powerfully as Harvey Smith. So let's have another word of prayer. Lord, again, we thank you for the mothers who are here, and we pray a special blessing upon them. As we look at your word, we pray that you will speak to all of us. And you'll give us a passion and a vision, even though we may not be a mother. You invented not only mothers, but mothering. And I pray that you will speak to us, empower us, and grant us much fruit. In Jesus' name. So, God created mothers, and he invented mothering. Why would God create mothering? Because mothering is those concrete expressions of tender care and love and affirmation that empower us for living. It's those fundamental elements that communicate to us that we are loved, that we are worthwhile, that we have potential, that we have meaning and purpose, that we're valuable, and that we can grow and do things. In the beginning, God created the world, and every day, every stage of creation, he said, it is good, it is good, it is good. And he created Adam, and he said, it is not good for man to be alone. What I've got in mind for mankind, he's not going to be able to do by himself. He needs a help. And so he created woman. But when God said he needs a helper, well, when we use the term helper, we usually think of somebody who's in a system not quite as good as the lead guy. But it's interesting, this word helper occurs 21 times in scriptures, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word. And 15 of those 21 times, the testimony is, God is my helper. It's not, God is not your assistant inferior. God is everything you need to be able to get done what you need to do. And that's why God created woman. She has that capacity to take care of all the stuff we guys can't handle. And I remember my wife and I were watching a film one time titled Junior, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. And my wife laughed harder at that movie than any other movie because Arnold Schwarzenegger was pregnant. And she's going, yes! Now there's a guy who could understand. God has blessed women with those capacities that we guys couldn't imagine doing. And he's created them to do things. Certainly giving physical birth is something a guy can't do. But the kinds of things, and nursing isn't something we can do. I can hold the baby in the bottle, but that's about it. But the capacity of communicating love and warmth and gentleness and kindness and all these things, yes, men can do these things. And we're supposed to do these things. But God has given and created women with a special capacity and a potential for doing these things in a special, dedicated way. But you guys, we can do this stuff, but not like the women can. We have the same brains. Our brains have the same parts. But women are wired differently. And different parts are different sizes than guys. And they're just especially equipped for that connection, for that tenderness, to be able to do that on a consistent basis. And mothering is just a special gift and a special capacity. We can't all be mothers, and not even all women are mothers. But we all have that capacity, and all women especially, that capacity for mothering. And God calls us to mothering. I want to look at a text today in 1 Thessalonians. And this is Paul writing to the church there. We were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. Now, this is a guy writing, a bachelor, who never had any natural kids. But this is what he's saying to a church. And he's expressing this whole concept of mothering so beautifully and so powerfully. And he's describing what they were like, what he was like, but those who were with him were like in reaching out to this community and this church. And this passage beautifully describes the gifts and callings of a mother. But it describes mothering. And it applies to mothers, describes them so beautifully, but it also challenges all of us with the potential and the capacity and the responsibility for fulfilling mothering. So I'd like to look at the words that Paul uses here. He says, we were gentle among you. In 2 Timothy, he writes and says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach and patient. This idea of gentleness is not being stern and tough. It's being gentle. Gentle in our words, our nonverbal, our behavior, how we respond to stuff, to disobedience, to people who are out of line. Have you ever had any kids out of line? It says in Proverbs, a soft answer turns away wrath. The gentleness calms down. We see this gentleness in our own church every week in the nursery, and all those volunteers who work in the nursery. And a big thanks to Janet for her faithful service there for the last 7 years in the nursery. Beautiful sister. We pray, guys, is that aspect of gentleness. The second term he uses here is like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. A nursing mother taking care or cherishing. The word really means keeping warm, focused on well-being and comfort of the child. And I remember watching my wife nursing her daughter, and just the tenderness and the love and the protection and the delight in seeing her needs met, in making that connection. It wasn't just feeding, it was connecting. And God wants us to connect. It's used, a good example of this is this idea of, or this person in the book of Acts, chapter 9, Dorcas. Dorcas was a lady in the church who passed away, and the church was grieving heavily over her. And they showed outside the home as they were grieving, there were widows there who were showing the garments that Dorcas had made for them. Widows. People who didn't have the clothing. This is a lady who made it for them and was caring for them because she cherished them. In our church, we have a hospitality ministry. We have a care and mercy ministry. And I think of Jill Ludlum and all the caring. She was a mother, both with her kids, but also with the whole church. And Annette, the hospitality. So many volunteers. Everybody who helps with the hospitality, raise your hand right now. You fix food, bring food, clean up the kitchen. Yeah. It brings great delight to people to be able to have that kind of connection and fellowship, right? It's that love that shines out through the church. The Ellisons and the Sunday lunches. It's a little beautiful example of that. He says, so being affectionately desirous of you. That word is used also in Ephesians chapter 5, where it says, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes, that's the word, just like Christ does the church. It's this, I got to take care of the kids again. It's an affectionate desire of love. It says, I'm concerned about them. I want the very best in their lives. This is what comes out from others. And this is what's to come out from all of us. This kind of, I want to nourish you and cherish you. And the beautiful part is, this is where this comes from. And where all these qualities come from is from the Lord. Here we have the husband and the wife, and the husband is to cherish the wife. Christ Church is the church. And ultimately, we all look back to Jesus as the one who cherishes us, to God who says, you are precious to me. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays and says, I pray that God would give you a spirit of revelation and understanding that you might know the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That means we are God's riches. We are God's inheritance. And he considers us so valuable that he gave his son for us. And he earnestly desires, affectionately desires us. And this is how we're to be with one another in the body of Christ. And this is what we're to shine out to the rest of the world. We love you. We desire you. We cherish and value you. Not, you miserable sinners, you need to repent. No, that's true. But that's not going to pull them in. What they need to see is that you really love and care. And that you have that mothering attitude toward them. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share. And the word ready here really doesn't communicate what the vocabulary communicates. It communicates desiring to share, wanting to share, valuing the idea of sharing. This is where we, the word is used when Jesus is baptized and the Father speaks from heaven and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And it's this well pleased. We were well pleased with you. And we were well pleased to share with you. And the word is not, it's a combination of two words, meaning good and meaning thinking. And it involves the idea of thinking good about the person. We value them. We think good about you. And it's not just I feel really gooey about this person. It's not just an emotional thing, but it's a choice, it's a decision, it's a commitment, it's a value that comes out of us, that there is something. You know, mothers, sometimes the kids can be really frustrating. But it's, I desire you. I take pleasure in you. I value you. So we were ready to share. To share. To give. To hand out our resources. Again, that lady Dorcas, who gave out this clothing, made the garments, and gave them to people in need. Ready to share. To give something that others needed and wanted. That you possess. Timothy's mother and grandmother shared the word of God with Timothy. People are going to share their labors for the buried souls. Would they? Would they? Morel has organized the snack pack program to share food with kids that have a need. We have a missions ministry. It shares everything of what we receive financially. Over 20% goes out to share in the world with the physical and spiritual needs that exist throughout the world. We are here to share with people. Our mothers share. And we share not only the gospel, but also our own selves. We shared not only what we had, but they needed, but we shared our own selves, our time, our labors of love. I think of all the mothering that it takes, the self-sacrificing of your schedule, changing your schedule, making exceptions, laboring hard, the exhausting work of mothering, of sharing, not just what the kid needs, but sharing yourself. And that's what we're to do. We see it in the scriptures, Hannah in the Old Testament, wanting a child so badly, and God grants her that request. And she has a son, Samuel. And what does she do with the son when she's through nursing it and getting it so that it's now a toddler? What does she do? She sacrifices that son and gives him up to the Lord. Total commitment. And God rewards her with other kids. But giving that child to the Lord, Samuel became one of the most powerful men of God throughout history. Powerfully used by God because of his mother. We need to be ready to share ourselves with the people in the world around us, with the people in our church. We need to make those commitments, take up those responsibilities, fill in those slots where there's a ministry that's needed. The mothering stuff in the church, in the nursery, with the junior church, with the youth ministry, with the lawn mowing, with all these things that are taking place in the body of Christ to help one another grow. We need these attitudes that says, I care about you, and I'm willing to share and make the self-sacrifices to see you be all that God called you to be. And finally, that word, last term, because you have become very dear to us. The word very dear is an adverb from the noun agape, which is the word for love. Because you have become loved by us. We had the deepest sense of love and commitment to you. We loved you. We loved you with all our hearts, with all of our energies. Being a mother is not a job description. It's a quality of being. Oh yeah, you know, we all fall short. There's no such thing as the perfect mother. It's not just a list of things that you do as a mother. It's who you are. And mothering is what we're all called to do. And some of you ladies have never had a physical child, but you have that heart of mothering. And you express it, and I've seen it in so many women in our church. It's so beautiful. And even us men have this call of mothering, of reaching out in love, in self-sacrifice, in gentleness, in caring and sharing, and touching lives. I thank God for the example of my own mother, and for all that she poured into my life, even though at the time I wasn't aware of it. Now, I can look back. I could wish my mother was there. I need to thank her so much more in my heart because of what she did. I didn't do a good job growing up. And I see it now, the sacrifices, the commitment, the caring that she poured into my life. And I'm sure you can do the same thing. And what I want to challenge each of us here today to do is to be that kind of person that has that mothering influence. God created us in such a way that we would need that, and that would be a springboard for us becoming all he had in mind for us. And there's a world out there that's so messed up, so dysfunctional, that so desperately needs experienced that love from God, that care, that tenderness. He wants us to do that in our life. I'd like my wife to come and to share a poem and a prayer as a conclusion.
Father God, I praise you for your mothering heart, the love that you have for all creation. You feed the sparrow and provide a cliff for the goat. You send the sunshine and the rain. You smile on children of every nation. Your heart delights in their praises. Holy Spirit, I praise you for your gracious disposition. You accurately reflect the Father's heart. With joy, you continually honor Jesus. With patience, you convince the skeptic of truth. With gentleness, you assure the fearful of forgiveness. With generosity, you give knowledge and wisdom to the humble. Jesus Christ, I praise you for your profound obedience, the astounding humility which you displayed while on earth. You knew the heart of the Father. You trusted him without reservation. You laid aside your rightful godly status. You lived as a servant and died as a criminal. Holy Spirit, produce the heart of the Godhead in your church today, so that in union with you, may we labor and give birth. Give us perseverance in our prayers. Give us endurance in our labors. Give us steadfast faith, unwavering hope, and unconditional love. Give us joy, the joy of bringing many into your kingdom. And on this day set aside to honor mothers, I ask for these additional blessings. Father God, I ask you to bless the expectant mothers, those with children in their wombs. Show them how to care for their bodies and nourish their unborn child. Let their hearts be filled with peace so their babies feel secure. Give them discernment in their choices so the life they hold flourishes. Give them rest when they are weary and protect them from disease and injury. Father God, I ask you to bless the mothers whose children are with them, those who are happy, those who are weary, and those who feel teary. Show them fresh, creative ways to express love to their children. Give them insight to understand and appreciate the uniqueness of each child. Encourage their hearts with your grace, so they discipline with kindness. Let them feel so secure in your love that they never seek their child's approval. Father God, I ask you to bless the mothers whose children are missing. Some of these children are prospering, some are strained, and some are buried. Holy Spirit, fill each sad and lonely mother heart with your comforting presence. Banish their feelings of failure and guilt and assure them of forgiveness. Give them the faith and energy to persist in their prayers and bless them with the family and friends they need to support them. Father God, I ask you to bless the women who don't or can't have children, those who may feel left out or may be ignored on this holiday. Holy Spirit, heal their broken hearts and fill them with laughter. Jesus, bless them so that children are drawn to them as they were to you. Send them the orphans, the wounded, and the so-called difficult children. Give them honor and mentoring and joy in seeing the Spirit bring forth new birth. Father, I bring these requests to you in the blessed name of Jesus. It is through him alone that I have the right to pray, knowing that he will answer me in ways far beyond what I can imagine. I leave him at your throne with gratitude and thanksgiving.
I want you to be there. What's the crime?
Thank you.